Y'all ready? Let's roll with it. I'll give you two of them. I'll give you two texts. We've been on this about a month, 6 weeks maybe. The word is contend. I wrote right behind me what is in front of me, I think.
Yeah.
It's in diagram form. If you're visiting, the ones of you who are saved tend to say, so Phil, so when do you get off the gospel and move on to something else? I don't get off the gospel and move on to something else. Number one, the Bible says it's of first importance. It's the most important thing. You say, but we already know that. I know that. But you say, what about the people who are visiting today? Do they know that? No, they don't know that. So I could get up here, and tell you stories, I will say, to follow a hunter, a would-be hunter, like Trent Cliffhanger, I'm trying to think what I would do if I knew he was in a patch of woods. I think what I would do is I would circumvent that particular patch of woods. Don't go in there with Cliffhanger there. Now, we shoot squirrels in the brain pan with 22 rifles. No pellets in the meat, no pellets in the meat. That's why we do it. However, Miss Kay, her favorite part of a squirrel is the head. Well, if you keep taking the heads off with a 22 bullet, she's saying, where are the heads? So therefore, we have to come back just a little bit, hit them in the shoulder, so she can have the head to crack with a teaspoon and dip the brains out like that monkey in that show. He took his skull cap off and they're eating his brains, That's why Miss Kay's a little squirrely. Now, a man like Cliffhanger, he's got a shotgun and can't even hit him. It's a dangerous man. You know what I'm saying? To contend. Listen to this. What is it, 7? Jude 7 is it? Jude 3? Yeah. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith. Listen to this. That was once for all entrusted to the saints. Contend for the faith. To contend. You got that one. And Paul to the Philippians. I'm going to reinforce what Trent talked about this morning. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians, he was an ex-mass murderer, the Apostle Paul. Mass murderer. Jeffrey Dahmer type, or worse. You're like, Jeffrey Dahmer type? He went around killing people who were good, godly people, dragged them out of their houses, imprisoned them. If you have the gall to stand there while others are stoning you to death with rocks, busting your brains out, the guy that's writing to the Philippians, who wrote most of the New Testament, you say he sat there saying, they deserve what they get. Let's kill them all. That was the guy that God picked to write most of your New Testament. So you might as well get off of this thing about I've been so bad, I don't think God can forgive me. Because, boy, I've really done some sinning. Really? Are you a Jeffrey Dahmer type that kills people and eats them? That's what he did. Or one that just stands there and stones good, godly people to death with rocks? What are you talking about? Your sins are so bad that God can't forgive you. Are you nuts? Here's what he said. The one who used to be a murderer. I think he rightfully said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, he said, of which I'm the worst. He was bad. He was a bad man. Listen to him once he runs up on Jesus. To all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers, that'd be us. You say, Phil, you're an overseer? I'm an overseer. He said, what are you overseeing? When you all are up to no good, word comes to us. He said, well, what then? We try to get you to see the error of your ways, but trying to help you out. We're here for you. We stand here along with you in defense of the faith, of the gospel. The faith has to be protected. You hang around here, like I've said earlier, you're shacked up instead of marrying the girl. You're like, a fellow like me is going to say, what are you doing? Well, you know, we're going to get around to it. Are you claiming Jesus, the one who died for your sins? He died for immorality. Go to the courthouse, get the document, sign the document. You're buying into political correctness, unbridled, unrestrained sexual relations, no problem. But God says it's not right, it's sinful, it costs you your soul. It took the blood of God to remove that, and you're telling me you won't marry her? You just going to keep shacking up with her? So the Apostle Paul says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, and all my prayers for all of you. I want you to listen to this. I always pray with joy because of you, your partnership in the gospel. I wrote it on the board. It's behind me. You say, we're all partners here. In the faith of God becoming flesh, dying on a cross, being buried in a tomb and raised from the dead. If that is not true, ladies and gentlemen, if that didn't happen, you are done. Because as surely as I'm standing here, you're going into a casket. And you're going to be lowered down into the ground, every last one of you. If that's not true, you're never coming back unless you have some information I'm not aware of. You can give it to me now. Is the U.S. government going to be able to get you out of the grave? That'd be a no, according to Silas Merritt. So what are you going to do? Well, I'll think about it. How long is it going to take you to think about it? You're not getting out of here alive unless that what I wrote on the board, unless it's true. I'm looking at it as a human being saying, if I don't buy into it, maybe he's not fair. Well, there's a good chance for you to stay in the ground forevermore. God's just not there. If he's not there, you're going down in the ground, and you were right. You will always stay there forever. But if he is there and you don't embrace the gospel, well, you get the same thing. You're going to be cut off forever. You're not going to be able to win, dude. But if that's true, and what I'm reading is true, flesh can be energized and come back up on the earth. I know you got inside your mother somehow. You got here. You talk about a long shot. Look how you got here. you're like, I didn't exist, and all of a sudden, I'm deep inside the womb of my mother, and you have to find me with a microscope. That ain't much there. Now you're taking up space. You have a consciousness. You know what right is, and you know what wrong is. You know what good is, you know what evil is. And you wouldn't have had to read a Bible. It's just there. You're like, I got old enough to know better. I chose poorly. Don't feel like the Lone Ranger. I did too. So was everybody in the room. Therefore, partners in the gospel. Listen, I have you in my heart, verse 7, Philippians 1. For whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming that, the gospel, your partnership with it, you defend it, you confirm it, all of you share in God's grace with me. We're all part of the faith. Then, when he wrote to the Philippians, what, 50, 60 A.D.? You say 2014 now A.D. You say same gospel. Yep, same Lord. Yep. Same faith. Yep. Same baptism. Same. Yep. Same spirit. Yep. Same God over all in all. Yep. Nothing has changed. Same sin. Same sin. How do they sin? Same way you sin. How did the Philippians sin? What were they doing? Exactly what you do. They might not have been far enough along into the pure heroin and cocaine. Oh, but they could get high. Did they find out how to get high? Are you kidding? Did they find out how to become immoral, be immoral? Yep. Verse 12, I want you to know, brothers, what's happened to me, you know, put them in prison, has really served to advance the gospel. That's one way to look at being in prison and beaten half to death. He said, boy, you know, when they put me in this prison, that really helped, because all these guys that got me in jail, man, they, no one can go anywhere, so I'm preaching to them. They can't leave. I can't leave. They can't leave, so I'm just laying her down. It's really helping out the cause of the gospel. I kind of like that kind of attitude. They got me in prison. What am I going to do now? You say, anybody in there with you? They say, oh, there's a lot of them in there with me. I said, you got the bull by the horn, son. I've got partnership, defending the gospel right there, confirming it, advancing it. Verse 16. I am put here for the defense of it. Verse 27, where we left off last week. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you, I'm absent. I know, listen, that you will stand firm in one spirit, contending, it's that word again. Jude mentioned it over there in the book of Jude. It was mentioned. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, a brother of James, those who have been called, loved by God, for mercy and peace, I urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered. Are there going to be any more Jesuses? A negative. Any more faiths? Negative. Any more sacrifice filled for my sins? That'd be negative. You say, any more resurrections guaranteeing me mine? That'd be negative. You say, oh, it's all behind us, all behind us, all behind us, all behind us. They look forward to it, thousands of years looking forward. When are you going to deliver us? He put them under law to point them to this. There's the provision for your sin. There's your guarantee you can come forth from the ground. Going to be any more of that going on? No. By the way, anybody else ever pull this off? No. I read all these different religions worldwide. I read the Quran. I struggled through it as I read it. I found it lacking in more ways than one. But stacked up to this, it wasn't even in the race. I read them all. You say, did any of them even compare to that? No. No. Listen, because America has a bad habit. You say, what's their bad habit, Phil? Especially godly people. They tend to be fearful. They get scared a lot. You say, you're telling us we're scared, it's kind of fearful? That's what I'm telling you. That's what keeps you from contending for the faith as one man. A little bit of fear there. You're like, fear of what? The list is long as here to the highway. They won't like me anymore. I'm going to seem kind of weird just coming up with Bible stuff. It's like the guy told me, he said, Phil, you keep waving that Bible around. This is 30 years ago. He said, you keep waving the Bible around every time you get a little crowd together on duck calls. That's going to hurt your business. I wish he was still around to see us now. But you say, did it hurt your business? You tell me. Now it's turned to where people are trying to shut me up. Whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man. That's the church of Philippi, 2014 years later, since Jesus died, was buried, and raised from the dead, give or take a few. You're like, that's what you're trying to tell us in this little place here in Louisiana today. Yeah. Watch. Why? Contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. Without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Do y'all think you're going to get off planet Earth alive talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus without any opposition? Are you nuts? The evil one is in them. They are coming. They don't love you. You love them. So what do people who hate you say to you when you share this? They say you hate them. When you tell them they're sinners and they ought to repent of it, they hate you for that. You're like, dude, I'm trying to help you out here. Give it to Jesus. It'll all be gone. He said, you talking to me? I said, yeah. Don't be frightened by him. Why would he put that in there? Why would he say stand as one man contending for the faith of the gospel without being frightened by those who oppose you? Why would he say that? Because they're going to oppose us, and a lot of us are frightened. The problem with structures like the one we're seated in this morning, the problem with them, this computer generation, we're getting better at it because they tell me what I'm saying now is streaming live across America. Well, now we're getting somewhere. Because for a long time, whatever was being said inside a church building didn't go beyond the walls of the church building. Our culture collapsed around us in the last 50 years, and we didn't lay a glove on them, did we? Are there more godly out there than the evil ones? The ones that oppose us? What do y'all think? I think we're in danger of becoming a nation where there's more of them than there are of us. What do y'all think? It ain't looking good. You say, don't be frightened in any way by those who oppose you. The ones who oppose you, what's that show, Paul? It's a sign when you have opposition. You say, is it a big sign when you have a lot of opposition? That's a good sign there, any big one. You say, if there's no blowback and no one opposing you, maybe you're not getting it out there. You only get opposition for good. You only get opposition against it. When you're making headway, this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed. Sorry. You should have taken me up on Jesus dying for your sins and being raised from the dead. Sorry. Because the ones who don't, including you, the ones who have visited, you're not getting out of here alive unless you embrace Jesus Christ. Unless you, by faith, believe that and you repent of whatever it is that you've been into, trust me, it's been a lot. If you're a grown person and you make him Lord of your life and you die to sin in a warm pool of water, you die. And not only that, you are buried with Jesus. And not only that, you are raised with him. They're going to be destroyed and you will be saved, and that by God. It's been granted to you. And I'll include this bunch at White's Ferry Road all these years later. It's not only been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him. You say, well, I believe it, Phil. I believe that Jesus died for me. Well, here's the second part. But also, it's been granted to you to suffer for him. If you never get out of that subdivision house of yours at some point and become a partner in the gospel, what are you going to do? Just let your culture get worse than it is right now? Well, I'm just a housewife and I don't know what to do with myself. I'm down here, you know, shopping at the grocery store. Well, the people you run up on down in there, wherever you go in the grocery store or whatever, you know, babysitters, I don't know what all you're doing. But, I mean, look, driving around on your life's journey every day, hey, life's a hassle, I understand. It's a bummer. I know that. You say, but I need to be a partner in the gospel of Jesus as I go forth. I don't care who you are. Yeah. I mean, it's collapsing around us. We're going to be good to go if the whole country collapses. We're good. We're members of the kingdom. It was set up, Daniel said, in the days of the Roman kings when Jesus got here. You say, did that set up the kingdom, the gospel of Jesus? Yeah, that's what brought it in here. You say, Jesus is the king. Yeah, you're like, we're good. We're good. But don't you love your fellow man enough to at least get this from your mouth into their ears? I mean, I think the human race is worth it. I think the country's worth it. You say, does it look good? No, it doesn't look good, but nothing wrong with trying. Since you're going through the same struggles you saw I had, and now here that I have, lots of problem there. He also says down in verse 22, this may be scary to maybe some of you, 2:22 in Philippians, you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. There is work to it. To contend is to strive as in combat. Do y'all feel like combatants in a war? I gave you two texts that said contend for the faith. Contend for the faith of the gospel. And now I'm giving you the definition according to Noah Webster, the father of public education, who compiled the first dictionary in America. You say, whatever he says, you better listen to that guy. Yeah, he made the first dictionary. According to him, to contend for something is to strive as in combat, to fight for. Are y'all fighting for the gospel? Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection? Are you competing as in a race to the finish line? Are you contending? It can mean to, in debate for. They give you their points. Here comes the politically correct crowd. They're saying, oh, no, there's really no God. We crawled out of the ocean, you know, and all this good food was just waiting on us somehow. Where'd it come from? It come out of the ocean, too. So we all got together here, you know, and we're just fellow animals. all living our life here with unstrained, unbridled sexual relations, and we're all in such good shape. We're skinny, we watch our calories every day, and we're real careful about working out, you know, and making sure that we... I said, did all of you go 6 feet deep after all the bicycles and calorie watching and all that? Do you end up in a hole in the ground? Don't be negative. You shouldn't be so negative. Honey, are you going 6 feet deep or what? Am I dreaming here? Bicycle and all. Are you going 6 feet deep? It took 20 minutes this morning for all of them to run by and pull up at a red light. Here comes a bunch of people running by, you know, right after daylight. And everybody's running by. And I said, we sat there for 25 minutes for all of them to get by. You said, what were they running for? On behalf of women who have cancer in their breasts. I was thinking, have y'all stopped to pray to the creator of the cosmos, maybe helping you with that particular infection that you have? That's all, and all we need is to run and get money for it. All the cause is all the money being raised and all of that. Does it keep anybody out of the ground? You can answer. Does it keep anybody out of the ground? No. You got one shot. Now, you want to go the politically correct route and say, well, all we need is money and enough initiative, and if we run around town holding up traffic, and I'm sitting there watching, I said, why wouldn't they pray to God to help them for their illnesses? I'm just saying, to hold to as fact. You say, when I'm contending for something, you're holding that this is fact. This is true. It's the truth. This is the truth that sets you free. You say, you're holding to it as fact. If it's not, we're done. If it is, there's life beyond the grave. We're presenting it as fact. We contend that Jesus is the way, as Cliffhanger mentioned this morning. That's right, it's not his real name, but I can't pronounce his real name. All I know is two things. His name's hard to pronounce, and he's a dangerous man with a gun in the woods. I love him. Jesus is the way. We are contending as fact that he is the truth, he is the life, and he is the resurrection. I'm enjoying my stay with Jesus while I'm on the earth. You say, Phil, do you have peace of mind? Yeah. My woman is my best friend. We talk it over. I laugh at that woman. She laughs at me. It's something about growing old together when you started as teenagers in the 9th, 10th grade. It's a cool thing. It's a cool thing when your best buddies, and I've told y'all this before, but the visitors never heard it, and your husband and wife, and your brother and sister, now just think about the ramifications of this kind of relationship, and your fellow workers. You work in partnership for the gospel. I mean, Miss Kay is literally speaking to thousands in a big arena and all this. You just wouldn't think she would be the type that would do that. It's a cool thing to watch. Well, that concludes my introduction. Where do we go from here? I'm going to leave you with this. How much time do I have, Alabama? Where did Alabama go? Out of time? I'll leave you with this. You're visiting today. You say, well, you know, I'm confused. Well, I talked to this woman right here, and she said, our message has impacted her. So I'm going to read you something here, honey. Listen. In Christ, all the fullness of the deity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, lives in bodily form. When you saw Jesus back there walking on a dusty road in a human body, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit lived in him bodily. You say, he was God. Yeah. And you, I told you I'm basking in the peace of mind that comes with Jesus. You, Colossians, I'm in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. You, Colossians, have been given fullness in Christ, who's the head over every power and authority. To him, in him, you were also circumcised in the putting off of the flesh, the sinful nature. I already told you this once. Not by the circumcision done by the hands of men, but by the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him at the same time through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. You're like, oh my goodness, that's when it all happens. I'm just saying, if you're not in, you can get in here today, Miss Illinois. I'll baptize you myself. Any of you who want to come down, Father, I pray that their heart are pricked, the ones who need be. They'll come down here, die to sin through their faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son all those years ago. Help them, Father, with their faith. That's what they're saved by, their faith in your grace. If they will believe the gospel, repent of their sins, make Jesus Lord of their life, and die to sin and be buried and be raised again out of a warm pool of water, God will seal them with his Spirit, and they'll live forever, and the grave will only be a laugh, a passing through. In the name of Jesus, I'm thankful for this, Father. You gave us that hope, I pray. Amen. That's it.